Okay, interview notes, stating the obvious that I'm just going to go there. Obviously, people who are interviewing need to be trained on how to interview, what, you know, what they should ask, what they shouldn't ask, you know, how to avoid common pitfalls like, you know, a setup, you know, for possible disability claim. And that's a common one, is people want to start talking about their accommodation requests. And sometimes it's not a setup, they just really want to talk about it. But that's, the interview is not the time to be doing that. The interview, you just need to know, are they qualified or are they not qualified? And the accommodation, that's separate. So we first find who's the best person for the job. And then if the person for the best person for the job is made an offer, and then they say, well, I'm going to need an accommodation, then we have the accommodation dialogue. But the only reason you would need to have an accommodation dialogue in the interview is if they need an accommodation in the interview. Like, I need to stand up and walk around because I have a bad back, or I'm going to need somebody to sign for me, or, you know, something along those lines. Yeah, obviously. And usually that, you know, is no big deal. But you don't have an accommodation dialogue about what's going to apply to the job. Now, the only question you really need to ask is, they bring us, the only thing I need to know is, you know, with this description of the job, can you do the job? If you can perform this job, you know, with or without an accommodation, then that's all I need to know. And what kind of accommodation you would need to do the job, we can talk about that if you get the job. So just don't let them go there, because we have a very active disability community, at least in Austin. And I've had employers who have had people who have been trained in this in an effort to raise consciousness. I'll put it positively, but it's risky. So it's important to train your interviewers on what to do and how to do it and how to handle something. And, you know, if they get information that they didn't ask for, you know, don't bite, just move on to the next relevant question. Say, thank you for that, but let's get back on topic and get back onto what it is they need to know in order to determine the credentials. Obviously, don't write down about any physical descriptions to remember the candidates by. Focus on the qualities of the most promising candidates. You know, what was it about the candidates that jumped off the page that that you're seriously interested in? What was it about them that really made them jump? So that when you're, if you're tested about why you didn't hire somebody, you have something that you can rely on, but don't put in physical descriptions. Okay, offer letters. Offer letters are very rarely done for anybody other than executives, which, you know, I personally find distressing, because there's so many things you can do in an offer letter that actually can help prevent lawsuits from occurring and help in defending lawsuits that do occur. And just doing them for executives doesn't make sense to me, because they can be pretty standard. And if you make them pretty standard and you send them out to anybody you hire, then you've got all this extra good insulation material available to you. So let's talk about that. Number one, confirming in there that all employees of the company are at will, and what that means, and, you know, with or without cause, with or without notice, and nobody can agree to anything other than at will unless it's in writing and signed by the president of the company. You know, once again, avoiding any kind of oral contract type arguments. Contingencies. If there's any contingencies for the offer, you know, this offer is contingent upon a drug screen. This offer is contingent on your passing a background check. This offer is contingent upon your signing a non-disclosure agreement. Put it in the offer letter. I had a situation once where somebody moved from Michigan, came down here. This was probably 20 years ago. Then the first day on the job, they got told they were going to go for a drug screen. And they said that, you know, for, I forget how they worded it. You know, their personal view was that, you know, that was inappropriate and they weren't going to submit. And so they weren't, you know, the offer was withdrawn and they sued. Now, you know, I don't think they had a legal claim, because, I mean, it was an at-will employment, so what's the claim? But it still, they had to pay money, and we were arguing about it. And yeah, we could have gone through the whole summary judgment process to try to get it thrown out because there wasn't a claim, but it didn't matter. They were still going to spend a lot of legal fees, which could have been avoided had the offer letter just made clear that you're going to have to pass a drug screen, which they didn't say. So I think anything that you're going to make as a contingency for them actually being able to have the job and start the job, go ahead and state it in the offer letter. Initial position and compensation. You know, I always think it's good to say, you know, your initial position will be, your initial compensation will be, because that way you don't necessarily have to go back and change your offer letter every time you change it. So if they get a promotion, they get a demotion, they get a raise, they switch departments, their bonus structure changes, you know, you've just said that that's what their initial is. Now, there used to be some concern about, you know, if you quoted something as an annual salary, you know, you will be paid $45,000 a year. Did that mean that they were no longer at will because you guaranteed employment for the whole year? And the courts of Texas have been very clear that no, to take somebody out of at-will employment has to be expressed. And just quoting them an annual salary isn't expressly stating that they can only be terminated during that year for a cause, for good cause. So that those cases aren't out there. I still think it's probably a better idea to go ahead and quote salaries in whatever the biweekly or weekly is, and then just say the annual equivalent is, you know, 45.